Well, wait until you find out what Ashley pees in.
Anything. Anything I'm allowed to. Anything I'm not allowed to. Just pee wherever I can.
Ashley crosses a line that to me, I'm like, nah, that's too much.
Hello, beans. Welcome to Sports, the podcast that ends with a question mark, starts with a question. I'm Katie Nolan. She's Ashley.
Hi.
He's Jay.
Hello.
And this is today's question.
Hey, Katie, Ashley, and Jay. Ooh. This is Jeremy from Australia.
Australia.
In the most popular sport in Australia, Aussie rules football, having returned after the pandemic shutdown. My question is, which team are you guys famously lifelong supporters of? And who do you think will go all the way this year? Since Jay spent some time in Australia, I assume he's the resident expert on the sport.
Excuse me.
Thanks. Love you. Mean it.
Well, love you, mean it as well, Jeremy from Australia. Jay, did you spend time in Australia?
I did.
Yeah, that's why I
lived there.
So did I. We've talked about this.
I know. Why are you the expert?
Because his accent's so good.
Yeah, okay. You can do the accent better than I can. That doesn't make you the expert.
I think, honestly, Jeremy needs to, like, you know, watch it, because I think he's, like, assuming that the white man in the room knows more, and I don't think that's fair to assume. Like, I would say that you probably are the expert, Katie. I think you were there for longer and more recently.
I don't think Jeremy knew Katie was there. I think that's the problem.
Well, Jeremy, I was there. It was a long time. It probably coincided with whenever you noticed a shortage in Tim Tams in the country. That's because I was there. And when they came back, that's because I left. Jay, did you go to any games when you were in Australia?
No Osrolls games, no.
I went to a Swans game, so.
So, there you go.
As the expert, though, Jay, let's break down the teams. I'm picking the Swans just because I've been, but they could be garbage. Maybe Save they're the problematic. Swans. I mean, you just got to assume nowadays. Something's probably wrong, but I'm going to pick the Swans a real loser. But let's have some fun with some of the teams that, you know, Ashley and Jay should root for.
I think the easy choice for me is the Eagles.
That seems I get what you're saying.
Yeah, they won as recently as 2018, which, you know, they're good, obviously. They won in 2018. Oh. But I feel like I should maybe go with the Magpies because what a strong bird a magpie is.
The Collingwood Magpies?
Sure.
The Collingwood Magpies are birds.
And now what kind of a bird?
Oh, well, thank you for asking. I could talk about this all day. They are
our bird expert, Ashley.
They are, they call them magpies because the way that they feed their young is like almost serving them tiny little like pastries.
No.
So they like,
you don't say.
They get the food and they kind of mash it into like these tiny round and then they like
famously
so the mag describes the size and the pie describes the pie.
What do you mean the size?
The size, yeah, she said it was a small pie.
Is mag, does mag mean small?
I think it means big, so I was just a little confused.
Yeah, well, they're big pies comparatively for the size of the bird.
Guys, I think we all know they're Make America Great pies.
Wow.
It's the bird. It's their little
Make Australia great.
Little nationalist pies. Make Australia great pies. Okay, so Ashley's rooting for them.
Yeah.
Jay, by that same logic, by the Eagles' logic, you could root for the Carlton Blues.
I could. I'm not going to.
Okay.
I mean, go the Blues for sure.
Go the Blues
in more ways than one. But I think I'm going to go with the North Melbourne Kangaroos. The North Melbourne Kangas, if you will.
Okay. If I won't.
If you will, because they are second in the league and they're poised to take it.
Where are the Swans in the standings currently?
Where are they going to take it from?
Not great. Ninth.
Well,
I mean, they've only played four matches from what I can tell.
Yeah.
So, you know, early season.
Yeah.
But Port Adelaide Power in first.
Oh, see, Power is a great
But no one cares about Adelaide is the problem.
I like that. Well, they're about to once they win.
Sure.
Well, that's not cool. It's the Adelaide Crows. That's Port Adelaide. Ooh, Port Adelaide, which is different.
I think that they're both in Adelaide.
I would assume so, yes. much like the New York Giants and New York Jets are both in New Jersey.
Yeah, they share the same home venue, the Adelaide Oval.
Ah,
I have the Wikipedia page up.
As the expert, yes, you are the expert.
Not the standings, though, which would have been
the Bombers. The Bombers are in third. Magpies in fourth.
The Essendon. The Bombers, okay.
Now, how do you... Do we think it's the Geelong Cats or the Geelong Cats?
You're the expert.
I think it's Geelong.
I think it's Geelong.
And based on no research, I'm going to say it's Geelong.
Yeah, agreed.
And just say it confidently, not Google it. So, great.
Unfortunately, the Western Bulldogs in dead last.
Okay.
Because that's a great team name.
Ashley's team is where in the standings?
Fourth.
Are they really?
That's not bad. That's a good job.
Yeah. I mean, obviously.
Right.
But they're on the rise. The pies are on the rise, as we all say. As fans.
We say, the pies are on the rise. Oh, my God. And Jay, you said you're done. You picked the Kangas.
Yeah, North Melbourne Kangas.
Well, that's that. Also want to say shout out to the Wallabies.
Whoa!
What? Famously, you just had that ready to go?
Yeah, because I saw something about Australia, and I was like, oh, I think I still have that.
That's sick.
It's my authentic Wallabies rugby jersey.
That's really cool.
It's very
thick. That's super sick.
It's a very thick kit, so it's like...
The only protection they have.
Yeah, that's all we get to wear.
It's a very interesting fabric. I don't wear it that often, but I do have it.
That's
awesome.
Shout
out Australia, and shout out Tim Tams, quite honestly, forever and ever. And thank you for your long-distance question, Jeremy. If you are anywhere in the world... And you would like to ask us a question.
Wait, what?
And you would like to ask us a question. You can always.
You've never done that before.
Yes, I have.
Leave off a voicemail.
If you would like to ask us a question, you can always.
If you would like to. Yeah, because it's the sentence I've been tripping over it because it doesn't make any sense. I'm like, if you want to. But okay, fine. 860-506-5571. No matter what country you're in, our country code is a one.
Was that the cage door?
Jay.
Yeah. Did it work? Because last time it didn't work.
No, I think it's because you talked before you...
I think it's because this microphone filters out, like, ambient noise, and it thinks the cage sound is an ambient noise, which obviously it's not.
So
it's a very important...
So you just make it. You just do it with your mouth.
It filtered that out, too.
It really did.
Kind of amazing. I watched it happen. You were still making a noise, and nothing was coming out.
Wow.
What kind of a microphone did you get? It's really
I got the same one that you have.
Oh, I don't know. I don't like the way it's treating you.
Yeah, I don't appreciate it either.
Freely.
It's a First Amendment, God damn it.
On your freedoms. Hi.
Hi.
How are we all doing?
Austin's in the room with me.
Hi,
I don't
Austin.
I know if you guys can hear him.
Hey, Austin. Oh, what a cutie.
He's just hanging out.
Cutest.
Watching The Little Mermaid.
Yeah. How's everybody doing? Cool. Sick.
Yeah.
Jay, you're still in Nantucket?
Yeah, I think this is the end of the run. I think I'm headed back to my apartment here pretty soon.
Didn't you say that last week?
Yeah, I keep saying it and then keep not leaving, but I'm going to do it.
Important
What's
to note.
What's the rush?
Important to note, we are filming this, recording this, As Jay's team is about to play their first match in however long it's been.
30 years.
Well, I don't think that's true. Man City, who are they playing?
Arsenal.
Yep, is about to play Arsenal. Go Arsenal.
Nope.
What did Arsenal fans say? Go
the Arsenal?
Go the Arsenal. I don't think that's
Go
right.
Gunners? No. Go U City. Come on, U City.
Okay, so we're rooting for Arsenal over here because... If Man City loses, then all Liverpool has to do is win one match. Their first match is Sunday against Everton. And then they'll win the Premier League.
That's insane.
I'm also always rooting against City because
fuck
you guys. But we normally film the pod.
Right.
We normally do the pod on Tuesdays, but yesterday Katie couldn't felt like she was going to puke all day. Could not get out of bed. So we moved it, and then today I was like, Jay, is that during your match? You know. So here
it
we
is.
Are. Jay's just going to be watching it while we record.
It's going to be a little bit of a distracted pod today.
A little bit. We've got Austin in the room. Ashley's got some stuff going on. Yeah. Myrtle's asleep, but that is, as soon as that's over, she's going to be a real brat.
Have you guys gone to a like a proper dog park with her yet?
No. Dan tried to take her the other day. He said it was too much. There were too many dogs because they just redid the dog park.
Yeah.
So people are like, you know, it's a hot destination. And she's just, she'd be too over.
It's a hot destination.
Hot destination.
Yeah. The hottest club in Hoboken is.
It's not wrong.
Hoboken's hottest club. This is insanely exciting that this football match is on television.
I know. I'm so sorry, that's okay. The first match, the first Premier League match was just a few, was just before this. It was, who was it? Sheffield and who?
Sheffield versus Villa.
Right. And nil-nil tie. So Premier League is back, folks.
Yeah. We're back with a bang,
love
baby.
Love to see it.
Oh, my God. They kicked off.
A sweet draw. All right. So Jay was like, that's okay. We can do it while the match is on. I'll just, you know, be watching. This is going to be a constant. We've lost Jay for the podcast.
I'm here.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm here.
How do you feel?
I have a question.
Okay.
Did you guys see all of this debate on Le Batard show and on the internet about shower peeing?
I did.
I feel like I'm very much, I have a team, and I would like to know what team you guys are.
I don't think there's any team other than it's okay to pee in the shower.
Okay. So, Golic Jr. is in that team.
Everyone's on that team except Bomani and Mina.
Yeah, I'm on Bomani and Mina's team in like a serious way.
Well, wait until you find out what Ashley pees in.
Anything. Anything I'm allowed to. Just pee wherever I can.
Ashley crosses a line that to me, I'm like, nah, that's too much for me.
Any body of water, really.
Is it like the sink? What are you talking about?
Ashley will pee in a bathtub.
It's really hard not to.
While you're in the bathtub?
No, Jay. I pee from across the room into a bathtub.
I mean, like, I don't know. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that I can't get behind. I can't support
that's
you.
Standing water.
Yeah, I love you, but I can't support
not
you.
Not necessarily.
That.
You that's can just have like the drain jump, open like, and the water
it's
running.
It's like getting in the toilet is what you're doing.
Well, that's most people pee in the toilet.
Nobody gets in the toilet, though, well, like with their body.
You don't know that.
To me, peeing in the shower is just, it's usually one of those things where you didn't even have to pee, but you know how you dip someone's hand in hot water or whatever and it makes them have to pee? It's like you get in the shower and sometimes you're like, oh, shoot, I have to pee. So I do it right at the beginning, and then I shower.
Got it.
You know, I don't find
that to be
gross at all.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like your feet are in there, and I don't know how much the water rinsing things away are. And
you can aim. Like, you of all people, the men can aim.
I understand the concept. I still don't.
He is like the most sterile thing about you. If you're disgusted by your own pee.
I'm not disgusted by it. I just don't need to introduce it to my.
Real athletes drink their own urine.
Ooh, really?
Here we go.
What was that? No, it's true. It was in a 24/7, I think.
Oh.
And there was like, Masada used to dip his hands in his own urine.
I'm just
going really?
To turn his blisters into calluses. He used to piss on his hands.
So you get stung by a jellyfish, you should have somebody pee on you.
No, I thought the jellyfish thing wasn't true.
I hope I never get stung by a jellyfish near you.
I thought the jellyfish thing wasn't true.
It is true. I'm speaking from first-person experience. My friend peed on me when I got stung by a jellyfish, and it immediately helped.
Jay, just walk me through why it bothers you so much. Because I see everybody Mina's getting really heated about it.
Juan Manuel Marquez, that's who it was.
Drinks his own piss? Yes. I don't know.
Yeah.
If I get they
come, oh god, there's, I don't know if you can see a picture
please.
Of it.
I don't need it.
I think it's just that, I don't think that I need to introduce my own urine to the place where I'm bathing.
Okay.
Like the whole purpose of a shower is cleanliness.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Again, the most sterile thing about you is your pee. It's not dirty.
Right.
Right.
I don't, yeah, I think that's just a fundamental disagreement.
Whether or not pee is dirty?
Yeah, whether or not that's like a part, like if, like I get that you can wash it off.
Mm-hmm. Do you pee in the ocean?
I have.
It's on you more than it's on you in the shower.
Yeah. I don't like the feeling. I try to avoid that.
You don't like the feeling of peeing in the ocean? Gosh, it's the most liberating thing ever. What are you talking about?
It feels very
it's nature's bathtub.
It's one of those things people lie about to sound like, I would never. Like,
no, I'm not lying at all.
You pee in the shower. Who cares?
Yeah.
It's over like that, and then literally the point of the shower is to get your whole body wet and soapy. And so once the pee has happened, again, I'm not peeing at the end of my shower. Just like, that would be like getting out of the shower and pooping. It's like, you do that in an order on purpose. But like, you wash yourself, like anytime it may have touched you, which it doesn't, especially if, again, you can aim. You're washing it off anyway.
I guess I didn't think about the timing, and I do feel better with it being at the beginning than at the end.
Okay.
That does make it feel a little better.
People are real judgmental.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to ask you guys about it, because I don't know.
Come join this team. Just pee in the shower. Who cares?
Yeah, can you do a book report, a shower report? Pee in the shower and let us know next week.
You're actually wasting a ton of water by...
It's a great point.
Peeing, flushing, and then getting in the shower. It's a huge waste of water.
Mm, so it's an environmental cause.
No, I just am lazy. But yeah, okay. It's also that. So if you're really woke, wake up. Stop wasting so much water.
Got it. Okay, thank you guys. Appreciate that. I feel like a lot was accomplished.
Yeah.
I'm going to try it. I'll let you know. I'll report back.
Great.
So much being disgusted by it. What else? What else? Updates of life. I left my house.
Where did you go?
I went to Queens.
Whoa!
I got a car. I got a zip car. And Dan and I drove to Queens to visit Hannah, my friend who our listeners might remember had a baby at the beginning of the teen. And we took Myrtle in the car for the first time.
How did she do?
She did great. I debated bringing her crate because, you know, for road trips and stuff, that's what we'll do. But I sat in the back seat with her and just like held her. And she was a little bit scared when we took turns because she has never felt that feeling of her whole body being forced to go one way or another way. But I had the window down. She didn't get sick. Once I got to Hannah's, Hannah was like, oh, all the dogs I've ever had puke the first time they're in the car. I'm like, thank God I didn't know that. Like, I didn't even know to be freaked out about that. She was fine. She didn't like pee or anything. She was great.
How'd she do with the kids?
She was good. Well, we got there kind of late because there was an issue with our zip car, but so one of her kids, Jack, the older one who just turned two, he was asleep. But we met Carmella at like pretty late because she woke up from being asleep because she's a newborn child, so she's just up every few hours. Dan held her by the leash because she was about to she just wanted to eat it. he held Carmella by her leash. No, he was holding on to Myrtle so she wouldn't go nuts. But she was so cute, Carmella. She's like the at the stage where like her eyes can only see so far beyond her. So you just see her like looking off into like middle distance trying to figure things out. And like when she saw Myrtle, her eyes like her, she's very expressive eyebrows for a baby. And she just was cute. Like that was so friggin' cute. I mean, really the best. But getting out of the house, that was my first time. I've been to the pharmacy once a month, and I've been to the grocery store, I think, once or twice, and to the pet store once. I haven't left. So, like, that was a adventure for
me. How did it feel?
It felt good. I liked being in a car. I haven't been in a car in a really long time. And that was nice. And, yeah, it just felt good to not be stuck in the house.
That's nice.
Was that the first time Hannah met Dan?
Yeah.
How'd that go?
Whole lot of firsts. It went great. Everybody got along. It was Hannah and her husband, John, who I love. And we all just, like, hung out and chatted, talked about stuff. It felt normal. It was, like, the most normal thing I've done in, you know, 3 months, 4 months.
So, what's time, really?
Yeah. It was good. I am so sick of being in this house. Mainly because, like, I'm not making it a better house. Like, there's a lot of stuff around the house I should be doing. But I'm just so depressed that I'm like, I don't want to. And I know once this teen is lifted, I'm going to be like, you had all that time. You didn't do any of the stuff you should have done.
So then, well, you did make it look really nice for the summit.
Yeah, I did. That one.
Just that one
little
4-foot stretch of wall.
Which then I had to cover with a backdrop for another shoot. So that's kind of just been there the whole time. There's too much stuff in this apartment. I got to go through a lot of it. But, you know, not right now. We're doing a podcast. How's everybody else's perhaps everything? After.
There's some highs and lows in House Braband right now. One of our pups is really sick and it's crushing. But what's today, Wednesday? Mm-hmm. By this time on Friday, we will be homeowners.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty big deal. I know. I still That's am awesome. Worried that like something might go wrong, but
I think.
Woo! Homeowners!
Austin's very excited.
We're excited too, bud.
You're gonna have to pay. What was that?
The iPad.
His iPad just like dragged off the little table.
Hold on. Sorry. Oh. Phil, I'm gonna hit mute. Phil.
I honestly have done that so many times where I'm like connected to something and then I pick it up and walk away with it and I'm like, oh.
Oh, nope. Yeah. And I've done that in quarantine because I'm hooked up to this microphone and I yank it and I'm like, ow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I am not 2 years old, so.
Yep, that's true. Those for our viewers, listeners at home, Austin, just to add to the visual for you, is wearing Paw Patrol headphones. So it's these big red headphones that have ears on them. But yeah, Ashley's dog is at the vet right now. That's why she has Austin in the room with her. And, you know, that's tough. She's gone through some tough stuff. So, you know. She's pulling through. She's doing her best.
Sorry.
That's okay.
That's okay.
I was just telling the viewers about your Paw Patrol headphones.
Oh.
And how he looks like he has little ears. He is so cute. If you could just make it so we could see him for the... Thank you so much.
I can scoot over.
He's so cute.
I know.
There's just so much joy.
I like that he's like at his little job. Like we're here yeah. on our laptop and he's
office.
On his laptop. Like,
sorry,
just
guys,
doing
gotta get
his
back
job.
To gotta get back to Little Mermaid.
He changed it. Now he's watching Paw Patrol.
Ugh.
That's what nice. He jumped up to tell me.
Ah, that's yeah. it. Well, that makes sense. So homeowners, that's exciting.
Yeah, we're really, really excited. It's just, you know, it's a lot. There's a lot that comes with going through that process and then moving in and all that, but it's a very welcome amount of work
yeah.
because we can't wait to have space and live somewhere with a little bit of a yard and
just any space rooms yeah. to get away from other rooms.
Yeah. It's honestly, it's, we're really, really excited. There's two floors, you know, we've been living in the apartment for a while, which is challenging. If you ever want to watch television and your child is sleeping because you can't really do it anywhere that's, like, you can never watch anything at the volume you want to watch it.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's just, we do like a little running commentary when we start to get too stressed or overwhelmed of like, what are you most excited for? And I'm like, well, having a silverware drawer. Like, we don't have a silverware drawer in this apartment. It's like really annoying.
Oh my God.
You wouldn't realize how annoying
that is. Oh yeah,
it's
like one of those things that when you're looking at apartments, you're like, oh, we'll figure it out. And then you're like, I don't want to figure, it's silverware. It's basic.
It's so weird. So, yeah. So, we're really, really pumped. I just need it to be official. And then I'll, like, actually celebrate.
Yeah. Oh, we will celebrate.
So much celebrating.
Yay.
Get zip car over to the suburbs.
Whee. I'll come hang out. I'll just... Do I have a room?
Yeah. Everyone has a room. There's a billion... It's not that many rooms, but, like, it's a lot of rooms.
Good.
More That's than great. Ours currently.
I will be taking one. Thank you.
Yes.
Well, I now have extensive nannying skills, so I may be able to put those to work.
Yeah,
you could be our au pair, Jay.
Yeah, I might have to be. I've been not taking care of. I've been staying at my friend's house, and they have a 1.5-year-old baby, and she is my favorite person in the entire world. Like, I never have bonded with a baby like this before in my life, and it is so wonderful.
What do you guys talk about?
Oh, you know, today we were watching this morning at 7:15. We decided, we were like, what should we watch today? And she had some thoughts, and then I was ultimately like, well, I think what you're trying to say is Monsters, Inc. And she was like, yeah. And I was like, cool. Sick. So then we watched like 45 minutes of Monsters, Inc. The other thing that I'm getting really good at being with the child is learning how to focus on things and only focus on them for like 2 minutes, and then you never get to do them again. Like, for instance, watching Monsters, Inc. Like, you'll start watching Monsters, Inc. and you'll be like, this is going great. And then all of a sudden, like, no, it's not. And you have to completely change. And it's like, why is this going on? Oh, right, breakfast. And then breakfast happens. And by the time breakfast is done, Monsters, Inc. is a distant memory. It's a distant memory. It never happened.
I'm freaked out with, like, 15 minutes left in the movie Onward. And it's, like, a new Disney movie that came out recently. And I still haven't seen the end of it, and it, like, bothers me. I'm like, I need to know what happened.
When I was hanging out with Austin, and we were watching, I think, Into the Spider-Verse or one of those things, he was like, and he wanted to switch to a different movie, and I was like, no, I'm into this now. Right. And he was like, I want to switch it, and I was like, no. And you were like, can you just switch it? I was like, no, I started watching it.
That movie's so good.
Very rude, Austin. I'm in the middle of watching this film.
I love that movie so much.
Spider-Verse is great.
It's so good.
So I'm looking forward to maybe, you know, catching up on minutes 18 through 29 of Monsters, Inc.
That's exciting.
Sooner than later. We'll see what Poppy wants to do. But, yeah, it's been really cute.
Do you call her Big Poppy?
We don't call her Big Poppy. Oh. We call her a lot of things. But the most recent one is, her mom has been calling her P-Tonks, because we were watching an episode of Anthony Bourdain and they were playing P-Tonk, which is bocce ball. Mm-hmm. And so she decided she's going to call her 1.5-year-old child.
1.5-year-old?
You're supposed to say
P-Tonks for P-Tonk. And I was like, I'm good with that. That's great. It's a good nickname. So P-Tonks or P-Tonks. Pop Star, Pop Tart.
Big Poppy.
Big Poppy.
Big Poppy. Anyway. All right. Well, that's us. That's where we're at. Do we have any official pod or show business? I don't think so. Nope. The silence speaks volumes.
Is golden.
Today on the podcast, we have actual sports stuff to talk about. The NBA has released their guidelines for the bubble. There's some interesting stuff in there. We've got whatever's going on with baseball or not going on with baseball. The NWSL is coming back soon. There's some college football headlines. Mike Gundy wore a dumb t-shirt. And, you know, the NFL is acting like nothing's happening. So we're going to talk about all that. But first, today's podcast is brought to you by one of our favorite companies, a national, it's like a statement piece. What is it? It's like not a figment. What's the word I'm thinking of? They're like a fixture of American culture. That, of course, would be AT&T. Which a lot of people don't know stands for Aboriginal Truth and Trusting. And so, Ashley, how would you like me to tell the people about AT&T?
Can you tell us about AT&T?
What does that stand for?
It stands for Absolute Tourniquets and Toe Jam.
Yuck.
Gross.
You know their slogan. Absolutely.
In honor of your mother, Cammy, demanding a retraction on never buying you a Lisa Frank folder.
Aha. So, a little background. My mother texted me yesterday. 2 days ago? A week ago? I don't know. With a picture of a Lisa Frank folder, because she has been going through all of my old garbage since I asked her, which actually, now that I think about it, I think my Beanie Babies are downstairs. I should go check. But she's been going through all my old garbage, and she took a picture of a Lisa Frank folder, and she said, clearly I caved at least once or something like that. And then I said, ha-ha, and she said, I demand a retraction. So first of all, apologies to my mother. But second of all, apologies to American Tracks and Trucks.
Tracks and Trucks.
Hey, guys, I know there's a lot going on right now in the world, but I still think that we need to be honest about childhoods, Catherine. We're all shopping online. I saw AT&T started doing two very helpful things for those who want to buy a new phone or a device online. They're offering fast, no-contact, free, no-contact delivery and curbside pickup so that online shopping is as simple and safe as possible, which I love. Also safe, Catherine, Kate, would be telling all your listeners that I'm a good mother, because I am. And just because you weren't cool doesn't mean I wasn't a good mother. Say the words. Say I was a good... This is a natural phone call I'm probably going to have. AT&T, on top of that, they have a flexible return policy, so you can shop at ease. You can go to att.com to learn how to shop online from the safety of your home 24/7. Subject to change. Restrictions apply. My peas are popping very aggressively today. Can you hear that?
I did
every
that
time
time.
I puh, it pops. I'm very it's annoyed. Going,
sounds fine to me.
It does?
Yeah.
Okay. I have it on, the setting is on the butt, so it's fine. It's AT&T, classic. Folks. Ooh, this just in. MLB's latest proposal includes 60 games, full prorated salary, expanded playoffs. News. Should we start with
news? I feel like with MLB, you really need to read the fine print to get a sense of what's actually
you don't say.
Very wise.
You don't
very
say. Jay, we're in the 20th minute. What's going on?
20th minute. Been a lot of chances, it looks like. I mean, I've only been able to just glance. But just now, Kyle Walker crossed it to the center of the box to nobody when it was a very easy goal-scoring chance for Raheem Sterling. So, nil-nil.
That's what I was looking for. Nil-nil. Great. So the NBA obviously is going to Orlando to do this bubble, and there's been a lot of talk about what the bubble's going to look like, how they're going to pull it off. There was a huge, like, 100-something page document that has been obtained by ESPN, quote-unquote, and The Athletic, that, like, detail what's going on. There's a lot in there. We're not going to cover all of it. Main thing, when a player tests positive, they're going to have an area or a resort, part of the resort, one of the hotels where it's just for, isolating the people who have tested positive. And it's like they get retested to make sure there's no false positive. And then if that's confirmed, they have to begin treatment. And then they undergo a period of rest and recovery. And that goes for 14 days. And after that, there's like cardiovascular testing and cardiac tests that they'll have to pass before they can return to basketball. Regularly throughout the, you know, time there, the players that aren't sick will still just be tested. It's not daily, most likely, but it'll be, you know, pretty often.
But they're like the not the super invasive ones, right?
It's
like
a shallow nasal test as opposed to a deep nasal test.
I think that like the deep swabs are a thing of the past.
No, this one said that if you test positive, you have to then, I think, if you test positive and if you leave the resort, because they're not mandated to stay there, but they, you know, pretty much are, then you have to get a swab, a deep swab.
Ugh.
Which sounds like a reason for me to not ever, like, I'd be like, that's enough. I'll stay. an interesting thing, there was not, like, a number set of, like, if this many players test positive, we're just going to call it and cancel the season. The document says, the occurrence of a small or otherwise expected number of COVID-19 cases will not require a decision to suspend or cancel the resumption of the season. So it sounds like they're assuming someone's going to get it. Because it says expected number. So there's got to be an expected number of people that are going to get it, which I know Bomani has brought up a bunch when I've done HQ with him. Is like, we're really saying because these guys are in great shape and because they're mostly young that there's not going to be, that this isn't really a big deal. But we're forgetting that there's like long-term issues to your lungs and your respiratory system that could happen as a result of this disease. Like, we don't know enough about it to know, you know, what it does to your body long-term. And so... as a player, I mean, obviously I'm in like a doom and gloom place right now in my life just from being stuck in here forever. But like reading this document, we'll get to the funny stuff that's in it. But I just kept thinking like, I wouldn't want to do that. They're basically saying they know a couple of us are going to get it and they're like okay with that.
Right.
And you never know how it's going to affect you and your body. It's crazy.
I would be terrified. I mean, I don't know. It's hard for me to disassociate like my own high risk nature, like if I wasn't high risk, if I would still be okay with it. But like, I don't know, the pressure of doing your job and satisfying fans and your teammates and all that, but like
being away from your family.
Yeah. Like I don't think I would do it. I don't think I would.
Well, so the teams have, there's two ways you cannot go. Well, there's three. Number one is like if the team determines that you're at a high risk for severe illness, then you can be designated as a protected player, which means you don't have to go and you're not going to lose your salary. And then there's an excused player, which is a panel of three medical experts review players' medical histories and then might determine that a player is high risk on their own, and then that player is excused and they don't lose money.
So do they do that when does a player get the panel if the team doesn't? That was how I interpreted it. If the team doesn't designate you high risk or protected, then you can go get like an outside opinion and they can be like, no, you are.
And then opposite of that, if a team designates you as protected and you want to go for whatever reason, you can challenge that to the panel.
Okay.
So if you don't fall into either of those categories and you still don't want to go, then you lose a corresponding number of game checks. So like if a player makes $10 million a year, they'll lose about $108,000 per game missed for up to 14 games. But players with season-ending injuries who aren't able to play, like KD and Kyrie, still get their full pay. So it's like they put a lot of thought into it, which, you know, bookmark that in your brain for when we talk about baseball, because it's not the same. The other thing they've put thought into is coaches, because you think about how old a lot of coaches are. A lot of them have been, they can be protected, like the players, but they can also decide they don't want to. Like, I can't imagine Pop being like, yeah, I won't go, I'll stay, you know?
Yeah.
But we'll see. They're keeping them at three different hotels. Ashley, you're our Disney expert, much like Jay is our Australia expert.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Trying to find it.
That is you.
In the stocks. I don't remember them.
Pretty much have them memorized.
I have it. So the top teams, the top four seeds in each conference, so the Bucks, the Lakers, the Clippers, the Raptors, the Nuggets, the Jazz, the Celtics, and the Heat, are staying at the Grand Destino Tower at Coronado Springs.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a good...
So Coronado Springs was a moderate resort, but I think in my head I was pronouncing it Grand Destino. I don't know if that's
probably it. I don't know.
I think it's like brand spanking new. So I haven't seen it or been inside. But if it's nicer than the Grand Floridian and the Yacht Club, then it's really nice.
Yeah. So the next teams are the, teams that are 5 through 8 in each conference, so Pacers, Sixers, Nets, Magic, Rockets, Thunder, Mavs, and Grizz will be at the Grand Floridian, and then the 6 current non-playoff teams, the Wizards, the Blazers, the Pelicans, the Spurs, the Kings, and the Suns are all staying at the Yacht Club. I stayed at the Yacht Club, right?
That was nice. I think that's where we were for the Super Bowl.
It was not nice.
Or the Pro Bowl.
What are you talking about? It's not nice.
Here was the number one thing about it. No mini bar.
No mini bar.
No mini bar.
And?
No food of any kind. No, like...
You had to order food to your room.
It wasn't normal room service. It was like a weird menu. It was like a... I don't know. Obviously, the things that I think make a hotel room nice are different than... It was spacious. It was big. But I was like, I don't need any of this space.
I think what I learned about Disney hotel rooms then, and Ashley, please correct me if I'm wrong.
Please, Ashley. I'm begging you.
Was that... They are really more like apartment style rooms geared for families rather than like a typical hotel room that we're used to.
I think it is accurate to say Disney hotels are geared towards families.
Well, but that's, yeah. I know that sounds stupid, but it's important to note for this NBA situation because these guys are not going with their families. And so it's like, as a person who wasn't with my family going to the Pro Bowl to cover it, I went into my room and I was like, oh man, this doesn't have any of the stuff I would normally want to have in my room. Like it just wasn't a, it could have been half the size, but with like amenities that I needed as a person staying alone, an adult on like a trip, then I would have been happier. There was like a fridge in a kitchen, but there was no like.
There was nothing in it.
No food. Sometimes they'll leave you like popcorn or something that you can like make, or like there's a little market down here where you can buy stuff that you can, but I didn't have a microwave, I don't think. I just had like a kitchen. That like pots and pans. I was like, I don't need this.
Well, I think there's such a giant spread in Disney rooms of like sparse to literally everything you need. Because when people go, they want to save money in different places.
Yeah.
So like you may just want a huge space that can, you can sleep 8 people inside, not necessarily comfortably. Or you may want something where it's a kitchen so you're not spending any money on food, so you're making all your own stuff. You'll go to a, we did that before. You'll go to a grocery store.
I'm not saying that makes, that makes perfect sense to me. For an NBA player, I'm just saying that's not gonna match up with their needs.
Where they're going to put the NBA players is not gonna be in those rooms.
Oh,
like there's different, there's like club level rooms that have like a lounge with like wine and beer that's for free every night at 5 o'clock and all kinds of snacks.
Yeah, but they probably don't have that because it's like a shared space.
But I know they have lounges, but like I would guarantee that they're going to cater to these.
But yeah, it's in here, but there, but a lot of it is like, especially for the first, when they first get there, they have to like solo quarantine.
Yeah. They'll probably be in a suite. Like,
But we were in what you would have considered a suite.
We were?
Like, yeah, because it was like, there's a living room and a kitchen and a bedroom and
two
bathrooms.
Well, let's get into what life is going to be like. When everybody gets there, they have to self-isolate in their hotel rooms for up to 48 hours until they have 2 negative COVID tests. To make sure that nobody in the bubble has the virus. I will just say, yesterday, I saw that Florida has reported their record high one-day increase of 2,783 new cases. Florida, the state that Orlando's in. And then today, the governor, Ron DeSantis, said that 260 workers at Orlando International Airport have tested positive for coronavirus after nearly 500 employees were tested. So that's more than half of the tests they distributed at the airport were positive tests. So this two-day quarantine when they first get there, the self-isolation, we may discover that a player has contracted that virus. They're all chartering flights, which was the first thing I looked at because Dan recently had to book a flight somewhere, which none of us have had to do in a while, and realized that, like, there are no flights right now. Like, he can't get to where he needs to go without 2 stops, which is crazy. But he has to go to so many different airports. And so I was like, if that's how the players – I looked up from Milwaukee or from, like, Oklahoma City to Orlando, and it was, like, 2 stops each. But they're chartering flights. But I still think that means that they land at the airport because I've seen the team planes at an airport. Like, I think they still get off like normal. So that's, you know, an interesting – just a little quick note that Florida's cases are skyrocketing as we're flying all of our basketball players there. But anyway, so they do that for 48 hours. And then – are you okay?
I took it off mute as he dropped the iPad on the floor.
It's okay. You don't have to worry about it.
It's okay.
He's like, he's just pointing at it. He's like, fix it.
Sorry, one second.
Okay.
Oh, God.
I'm just going to keep running through this doc. You don't have to. All right. they're not allowed to go into each other's rooms. And then through July 21st, players can't socialize with players staying at other hotels. So then they can, like, mix with each hotel. Every team has its own chef and food room, which is like a kitchen.
That's not open, an elegant term for it.
Open up to 24 hours a day. It's like, yes, of course it's up to 24 hours a day. It can't be more than that. So it's open up to 24 hours a day, but they can't eat with other players outside. They're also able to order room service using an app, which I think every hotel should allow. That would be the best. Then eventually teams can have meals at restaurants on the campus that will be closed down to accommodate them. They might even be able to order from select local restaurants. Everybody on campus has to use the Magic Band, which I found out the internet is fucking passionate about. Cause I got mine when I checked in at like midnight and it was just the gray one and everyone was like, that's the Magic Band you chose? I'm like, I don't know, I had a choice. But they're basically going to use that for, like, coronavirus testing and medical screenings and stuff. If it's green, then they're good and they don't need a test. But if it's – I don't know how that works, but I read it somewhere.
That's wild.
Yeah. And then at each hotel, there's going to be a player's lounge. This is kind of what you were saying, Ashley, with video games, card tables, ping pong, and other recreational activities. But important to note, no doubles in ping pong. But you can guard a guy on a basketball court.
I was just going to say that makes no sense.
Yeah. You can post up, but – no doubles.
And for card games, new packs of cards will be used for each session.
That feels...
And I saw Zach Lowe tweeted, NBA protocols concede maintaining 6 feet of distance during card games may not be practicable and require anyone playing cards indoors to wear masks. Okay?
But if you play outside, then you're fine.
I don't know. People on campus will be able to use pools, trails, and golf courses. The amount of people who can travel from each team will evolve over time. They start with 37 people, which is up to 17 players, and then support staff like coaches, trainers, strength coaches. They're going to, like, share. They're encouraged to bring a mental health professional. They can share them. They can use telehealth. As teams advance in the playoffs, then they can add guests. What's up, Jay?
Didn't they open, or are they reopening Magic Kingdom?
Ashley, Disney expert?
I actually don't know.
I saw they were like slow roll opening parts of the park.
And so I am imagining that like the hotel rooms, they are the hotels that they're staying in, they're closing entirely to just the NBA players.
I guess so.
Who would know?
I'm going to Google it.
Because that's the wild part to me, is just thinking about, like, if you're sitting outside and you're LeBron James and you're playing cards, like, and Disney is open, like, you're not going to be able to avoid 100,000 people coming up to you.
I mean, they'd have to. Right. They've got to. Looking at how much thought they've put into this, they've got to. It's got to be close enough. It can't be an issue. I saw something about a snitch hotline.
That's my favorite part.
An anonymous hotline where you can like report violations, or players can report other players for violating. I'm like, what? Who would do that?
I feel like it would be a sneaky move to.
It would be Isaiah Thomas. And Michael Jordan would just come get him.
Michael Jordan would totally do that.
But think about,
you think Michael Jordan would snitch?
Yes,
no, Michael Jordan. Somebody would snitch on Michael Jordan, and Michael Jordan would end their life. It would just be.
If you test positive, you have to isolate for a certain number of days and like get two negative tests before you can leave. So even if something happened and you got isolated erroneously, you're still in there for like 2 days. If that happens during the playoffs to LeBron, like, that could be a game changer for your team, for the way the playoffs go. So
absolutely.
It's like self-snitch line to me. It's like, what are we doing? The other creepy thing, not to be Kyrie conspiracy theorist here, but there was a thing that was like, if you're confirmed, if you have a positive test, the NBA will use video technology to contact trace. And I'm like, that sounds to me like surveillance footage to check and see who you've come into contact with in the last however many days.
Also, wouldn't it just be anyone in the bubble? Like, it's a bubble.
Right.
It's like,
I think it's within 6 feet. They also have this idea of you can voluntarily wear these, like, beepers, essentially, that when you get within 6 feet of somebody else for longer than 5 seconds, they beep.
That's so annoying.
Nice. Voluntary, so it's like the opposite of what people used to use beavers for.
Yeah, it's voluntary for players and refs, but I think it's mandatory for like staff. It doesn't make sense. If it's not mandatory for everybody, then it's useless.
Did it say in this report whether or not the staff is going to be coming in and out of the bubble? Because this seems like
you show up with 37 people and then you can add more, and probably
mean the hotel staff.
I mean the hotel staff. Like, I know that was
something. So the hotel staff is allowed to leave, but they have to wear masks and they're not allowed to come into contact with the players and blah, blah, blah was what I saw. I've read three different things on it, so I don't know where I saw it, but it was basically like the hotel staff is not quarantining. But they're supposed to, like, come in. And I think it's, like, they only get their rooms cleaned once a week.
Right.
Crazy time.
I know. None of it makes any sense to me. There's three different arenas, no fans, but there are people in the stands. Because, listen to this, a limited number of players can attend games they're not playing in. And there will be limited media, team executives, league and union personnel, and even some sponsors allowed in. What? What's
Unless
up?
They're in like the upper deck of the stadium, how
and
does
like,
that make
why?
Any sense?
Why do you want to be there? The sponsors have to quarantine, right?
I think
otherwise, your
so.
Bubble is ruined. If as soon as you start making exceptions to people who come into the bubble is no longer a bubble; it has popped.
I mean, if they sit far enough back away from the court, and there's only like five of them and they're all spread out.
But it just feels to me like, why?
I don't know.
Well, if I let a tiger into the stadium, if I chain him up and I keep him pretty far away, it's like, why even bother?
It's probably
money.
It doesn't
have to be there.
It's probably like if you're getting $6 billion to let the tiger in, figure out a way to make it work.
That's true. It's an expensive tiger.
It's always an expensive tiger.
Well, tigers are pricey.
Never come cheap.
You watch Tiger King.
I do. My takeaway was like, that's actually not that expensive.
The takeaway was like, wait, tigers are only this much money?
Incredibly affordable.
Cheaper than a French bulldog? That's wild.
Really? Nobody will be stopped from leaving, but if somebody leaves without approval and then they want to come back, they have to quarantine for 10 days and undergo deep nasal testing, other than shallow nasal testing. There are excused absences for family emergencies. Guests can start coming after the first round of the playoffs. Each of the 8 remaining teams will be allowed to reserve between 15 and 17 hotel rooms for player guests, which to me seems backwards. Because, you know, zero dark playoffs or whatever fucking LeBron calls it when he doesn't, he goes into the playoffs and he turns
everything
off.
Doesn't talk to anybody?
Yeah, you'd be like, I could quarantine for the playoffs, but for the regular season, you'd want people to be there, but I guess, you know, they figured that out. That's pretty much
it. That's wild.
No drug testing for recreational drugs, but players have been advised by the league that marijuana is illegal in Florida, and it's banned at Disney World, which made me want to say, fuck you, you're no longer the happiest place on earth. You don't get to say you're the happiest place on earth and then ban weed.
They don't even have alcohol in, like, every park.
I know. Actually,
I think they just started putting some in mention.
Oh, my God. Andrea and I had to walk, like, 50 minutes one time to find a beer.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
It's happy in a different kind of way, I guess.
People really forget that it's made for kids, and so your own basketball players being there might not be as great as one would think.
I just think this is all, and not to be, again, doom and gloom, but I have a feeling that the cases in Florida are going to keep going up, and in even, like, 3 weeks, we might be reconsidering this whole proposition.
Mm-hmm. Because, important to note, I've seen a lot of people saying something about a second wave. We're still in the first wave.
Yeah.
This is wave numero uno. We didn't let it pass. We wanted to get back out there, so we reopened states early. And the wave is still, we're riding it. We're riding the top of the wave. Second wave is going to have a potentially mutated virus, which means it's going to bring on all these new challenges. We're not even there yet. This is wave number one.
Well, there is no second wave if you read the Wall Street Journal article.
That's right.
By Mike Pence.
By coronavirus. Being like, hey, guys, chill, it's fine. I'm only coming once. I'm never coming back, I promise.
Oh, God.
Sick.
Oh, dear.
So that's the NBA. And best of luck to them with that.
So I think the takeaway is that. But it looks like they actually tried, and they put a lot of thought into it.
Yeah, that's the thing. If you look at that, and you're like, wow, there's still holes here, at least you can see that they were like, we thought about what happens when someone gets infected. We thought about how many players can come, what happens if a player doesn't want to come. We didn't talk about this, and it's not in there, but Kyrie got a lot of shit on the internet the other day because he gave players a voice for, hey, if you feel like coming back is actually a bad idea, given that, you know, we're making progress on social justice for Black Americans because of all these protests, and there's no sports to distract us. And if you think us coming back is going to distract people, let's have that conversation. And I saw a lot of people attacking Kyrie, who I have attacked in the past because he's said some wild boy shit, like that the earth is flat. But this was, with his role in the Players Association, this was the right thing to do, to let players know. Because somebody said, like, if you're in a group chat with LeBron, and LeBron's like, everybody cool with coming back? No one's going to be like, yeah, I have some issues. You need somebody to advocate for you, to tell you it's okay, to bring that idea up. I've seen it in regular life, like in my life, on a conference call, when everybody wants to ask a question, and you got to wait for, like, somebody above you to ask it, so that you're like, oh, thank God, now I don't have to ask that question. So, like, Kyrie was just trying to do that, and got a lot of shit for it. Some real dumb tweets from some dudes in sports media. Anyway, yeah, I know.
I miss those real dumb tweets, you know?
Right?
It's nice to have them back.
But, like, none of that is addressed in here, which is a very real problem and something that a discussion I assume we will continue to have. That all being said, baseball, in comparison to the NBA makes the NBA look like they have absolutely crushed this, and it's perfect. Because baseball, I mean, baseball, it wasn't that long ago that we were like, baseball, I think they were the first ones to bring up the idea of a bubble. I think Arizona bubble was
first.
Yeah,
Arizona bubble.
Yeah, we thought baseball was going to be the first sport back.
Yeah.
I love also that they chose... I love that they also chose the two states that are experiencing the highest spikes in coronavirus.
Well, I don't think it's an accident because I think that Florida and Arizona were the states that were like, not affecting us. We'll be fine.
Right.
And now it's like,
it's actually going to be closing.
Better. Yeah, it's going to be better in New York by the time you guys get there. Right. But whatever. Yeah, so hopefully. That was April. In April, we were talking about the Arizona bubble, April 7th. Basically, I mean, it's so hard to sum up other than just like the league is afraid to lose money. The owners are afraid to lose any money. And people just willingly accept that like the owner shouldn't lose any money. When owning a sports team, that's a risk. It's that you'll lose money. And now there's just this like inability for no owners like, you know what? We need baseball. Like, let's just do it. Even if it costs us money, they're only looking at their bottom line. And like the players are the ones, we've always said this, who are going to get the blowback from that because people would be like, they're being too selfish, asking for all the money that the teams literally owe them. And asking for the players to play for less money would have collective bargaining agreement ramifications that just don't make sense for the players to do that. Like these teams, these owners, like this is the business you got into. This is an unprecedented thing that's happening, but it is happening. And you can't just be like, well, we can't.
Also, fun fact, like every business owner right now is losing money.
Right.
Except Amazon and like hand sanitizers.
Yeah. But it's like, you know, it's like you gotta, if you guys love baseball so much. But anyway, Rob Manfred went from saying that he was 100% sure that we were going to have a season to then, 5 days later? On that special on ESPN, said that he can't promise that we're going to have a season this year. So it looks like baseball is not going to happen. I don't know. For me, as soon as I hear a commissioner say, like, I can't guarantee it's going to happen, I'm like, that's him setting us up. It's not happening.
Right.
But then there was news today, Jay, you said?
Yeah, I mean, I saw a tweet from John Heyman, the MLB Network insider, that said that they are closing on an agreement to play the 2020 season via the players, which was made me a little bit more optimistic for it because most of the updates have been from MLB.
Look up.
Oh, ho, ho, ho. While I'm giving the MLB update, Raheem Sterling seems to have scored the very first goal for Manchester City.
Sterling. Can't you say many it months. Sterling.
Can I say it funnier?
Yeah.
Like in a British accent?
Yeah.
Raheem Sterling. Oh, gorgeous. Top. Yes, that was beautiful. Okay cool. Anyway, we did it. So the deal is expected to be for prorated pay and include expanded playoffs, which
every time I get a baseball deal, a baseball update, I'm like, didn't we do that one already? I'm confused.
The prorated pay and expanded playoff, I think, is what they wanted last time. Gosh, that goal was beautiful. I love that it's Raheem, too. And
the players were tweeting, tell us where and when. I don't know if you saw, like, a bunch of players, like, quote tweeting each other, like, where and when, just to emphasize that, like, they're ready to go. They want to play. But it, like, it's up to the league to decide. And I just don't have faith.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know, maybe they have their ducks in a row, although I would, at this point, I highly doubt it. But, like, this conversation is... You know, like months before the conversation that the NBA had to set out the rules for the bubble. Mm-hmm. Like now, if they finally are like, okay, we're going to play, then they need to do the like, all right, let's agree on all the terms for what it's going to look like. And we're not even close to that yet because they can't agree that they're going to pay people adequately enough.
Yeah. So I remember in the deal that the players, the first round, you know, not the first deal because there was an agreement on the first deal, which then the league went back and said, well, that was assuming that fans were going to be in attendance. And it's like, why? Why did you ever make a deal assuming fans would be in attendance? So they came back with that 50-50 revenue share split deal and the players were like, we're not doing that. No. I remember around then the news being like, and none of this even touches on health and safety. Like, we're not even on health and safety yet. We're just talking about, like, payment for games and how much the players will be paid and, like, who's going to lose money and how much money each person will lose. And it was like, God, that's the thing that's taking so long in every other league is health and safety. And they're not even there yet.
And the other thing you have to remember is that baseball rosters are like 3 to 4 times larger than NBA rosters.
And older.
Their support staff, older, and like all of those staffs are increase in size because there are so many more people on the team.
Yeah.
So it's like, if we're like looking at the basketball one and being like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yikes.
It's scary, and I think we should prepare for not having baseball this year, unfortunately. Man, I didn't watch Long Gone Summer yet, but did you guys?
I actually did watch it.
You did?
Yeah.
Congrats on finding the time.
Well, thank you. I couldn't sleep, and Steve had it on, and so I watched it.
Was it good?
Tell us more.
It was... It's interesting because I didn't really start watching baseball until later. So I have very vague recollection of that time. I remember rooting for Sammy Sosa to be the one to break the record. I was definitely on Team Sosa in that scenario. And I was curious to watch it and then learn about the PED use because that all came later and I had no idea about it at the time or even kind of like in when that was all coming out in the early 2000s, I was very detached from like cable. I like didn't have cable in college and high school. So like I missed a lot, as we joke about a lot whenever we talk about trivia, I missed a large chunk of like pop culture. And I was like excited to learn about it. And it was like, oh no, they're not going to talk about it. They're just going to show
it. They didn't talk about it at all. That was the whole thing.
It was just, they kind of glossed over it at the end. And it was like, oh, okay, not what I thought I was getting. Yeah. But it was, you know, it was interesting as somebody who, Steve was saying, I think he's a couple years older than me. He really like lived it and was invested in it. So it was more a nostalgia thing for him. Like, oh, I remember that moment. I remember that moment. And for me, it was a little more like eye-opening how big of a deal it was nationally.
Yeah.
Obviously, if it resonated at all, like it must have been kind of big for me personally.
It was like an obsession. Like, we were just like every day.
I'm embarrassed to admit.
What are the numbers at? Where were we at?
Yeah. I'm embarrassed to admit I haven't seen it yet. Especially because I was... Well, I mean, it was a big part of my life. I was at the Maguire's 64th home run game, I think it was the one I was at.
A true fan would have watched it, so...
I'll get there. But what I did see,
Monsters Inc. Okay.
Well, do you tell that to Poppy? She's very demanding.
I think Poppy would love this. I think she would love a good old home run battle.
Yeah, she might. And anyway,
call her Papa.
I did see that they were using B-roll footage like from this month of St. Louis and Chicago instead of using like B-roll footage from those years. And so like there were like storefronts in St. Louis that had like Black Lives Matter signs in them. And people were like,
wait,
Sarah Spain, I think, pointed
out. You saw the B-roll footage?
Well, Sarah Spain pointed out on Twitter and she was like, what is the deal with this B-roll? Like,
so weird. We're probably like empty city, might as well take advantage, grab some B-roll.
Right, exactly. Anyway, I'm going to watch it, but it's a bummer that they didn't talk about the PEDs because that's obviously...
Like they touched on it, but it was not...
I mean, that's kind of what the experience of living it was. It was like you kind of didn't know, but then like... It's funny because I remember it wrong, you know? I remember it like they were intertwined when really it's like, no, it happened and then you learned about it. So it wasn't at the same time.
Right. Well, and then 2 years later, the year later, Barry Bonds came and hit even more home runs. And it was just like...
Yeah. It was a fun exercise to like go Google home run record because it was like, wait, I don't even remember.
Like to put it in context.
Yeah, because they both broke it. And then I think they both broke it again the next year. And then Barry Bonds came and just smashed everything.
Yeah.
And I couldn't remember, like, I know Barry Bonds has the asterisk, but like, does Maguire and so, like, where did we land on that? And like, who actually admitted it? And like, Maguire did, but like Sosa never did. And Sosa just like, man, no, it's like, it was just
Sammy Sosa, current day Sammy Sosa in it?
Yeah.
Leve.
And I guess he's never been back to Wrigley Field. Like, I didn't know half of this. Like, had like a falling out.
Oh, yeah, they had drama.
And, like,
yeah.
It was all kind of like, it was fascinating.
Interesting. Well, yeah. Long Gone Summer on ESPN. Go watch it. Because Jay hasn't. Neither have I.
Correct.
all right, more news in a second, but today's podcast is also brought to you by State Farm. And guys, as we all know, there's nothing realer than someone you can rely on, whether you're relying on them to make the shot in the clutch or be there when you need it most. You know, like, who are the most reliable shooters? Thinking NBA-wise, maybe Dirk. That's of recent memory. You know, 7 feet tall, tough to guard, textbook form. Jerry West, historically.
Mr. Clutch.
That's Mr. Clutch, the NBA logo. He was efficient, never forced an attempt he couldn't make. There's Larry Bird, Reggie Miller, who's probably the best shooter to ever play. Steve Nash, did you know if you add up his field goal, three-point, and free throw percentages, his combined shooting rating is the highest ever? Did you know that?
Wow, I didn't.
Steve Nash. Also, he plays soccer, so that's got to make him the most reliable shooter because he can shoot in different ways.
He is good at soccer.
Someone you can trust to come in clutch makes all the difference on or off the court. With State Farm, oh, also Jordan probably, right? Cool. With State Farm, you get a teammate that you can rely on. You get the real deal. When you want the real deal, like a good neighbor, Ashley, where is State Farm?
They're right there.
And you're a rude neighbor if you don't talk to them because they're right there. So go talk to State Farm.
Maintain social distance. 6 feet.
Right.
Wear a mask.
Just talk loud.
Just go to their website. What? Okay. College football stuff's popping off. Don't know if you saw this drama. Mike Gundy wore an OAN t-shirt, which is the One America News Network, which you may have at some point stumbled across while scrolling through cable, especially in quarantine when there's nothing on. I found myself in those really high channels being like, what is all this? And saw One American News Network once and was like, is this a sketch? Am I watching a sketch?
I think you showed me that. You showed me a clip
of
it.
No, that was Chasing News with Bill Spadia. That is very different, but also a f***ing sketch. it's just like, and look, it's nothing against people who believe in things I don't believe in, but it's just like calling itself news is blatantly and immediately hilarious. When you watch it, if you're at all consuming media, if you consume any media and you have any media literacy, you watch that network and you're like, this is clearly, it has one goal. It is very one-sided. It's very much opinion disguised as news, but barely. That being said, Mike Gundy wore an OAN t-shirt. One issue that OAN has recently had an opinion on that is relevant to the current moment is that it said that Black Lives Matter is a farce, which somebody said on Twitter. And then the girl who said it came out and was like, no, I said the movement was a farce. And it's like, that's what you're being accused of saying. What do you mean? What do you think you're? Anyway, and so the one of the players at Oklahoma said, I think it's Chuba Hubbard, right? I think it rhymes with tuba, but I haven't heard anybody say it out loud, so I'm just guessing. He basically tweeted, like, this, I'm not putting up with this. Like, this is unacceptable for this coach to be out here representing this. First of all, super weird to own a news network t-shirt.
Yes.
Like, yes. Let's just state that right off the top. I know.
I don't even have an ESPN t-shirt.
If it's a certain, even that is like the first letter of ESPN stands for entertainment. It is a network that just basically tells people you like sports. But like, I love news. Like, imagine somebody in, like, a Reuters shirt. Like, it just would be weird. What are you, passionate about info? I don't really understand. And so even just the fact that they sell t-shirts to people who don't work there, that aren't, like, staff t-shirts, should be a pretty good sign that it's for people to be a fan of. It's, like, which news should not be. News should just be, like, information. Anyway, so he came out and said he didn't appreciate that, yada, yada. Of course, one side of things argued that, like, it's a t-shirt, to which I'm like, yeah, it's a t-shirt, which is representative of, if you like something enough to wear its t-shirt, then whatever. A couple months ago, or like when the quarantine was all starting and Gundy was talking about coronavirus, he brought up OAN while giving his statement, like during a press conference, unprovoked, brought it up and said, like, it was so refreshing. It was, there was no opinion. It was just straight up news. They just reported the news. There was no bias. And I just found it so refreshing. Which is just like, you're either lying, right? You're either lying or, and I don't want to call him stupid, but if you can't discern the difference, if your read of that network is that it's pure news, that's like a cognitive issue with your reasoning that would be concerning for a leader or a coach or any type of a manager of young people. Not just because of what side of the argument you align with, but even if you looked at, like, if there was, like, a, there might be, I don't know, a super left version of, like, of OAN, to look at that and say the same thing, I would say the same thing. It's like, if you don't have the ability to notice what that is, and you don't have the, like, the reasoning and the mental processes to be like, I recognize that this is skewed and slanted, that would be very concerning for any coach for me.
I think that's fair. That was a very nice way of putting it.
Thank you.
I would have been a little more forthright.
I'm trying to, you know.
So, man, he dumb.
It's just like, it's frustrating. But so then they had Gundy and Chuba go give a statement. And it was, you should look it up. Go look it up. It is the most uncomfortable thing where they're standing next to each other, but like socially distant, I guess, but without masks. Gundy says, like, I saw the blah, blah. He says a lot of words. None of them are sorry. And then he, like, points at Chuba, like, your turn, go. And then he apologizes. Like, sorry that I tweeted that. I'm sorry. I didn't do it right. I should have come straight to the coach. Basically apologizes while the coach just stares at him. And they got torn apart on the internet where everybody was like, the wrong person apologized here. This is not right. So then Gundy came back out the next day and released a video in which he reads prompter very sternly, looking down barrel, saying that he's sorry. And that when he found out what the network thinks about Black Lives Matter, that's unacceptable. And that Black Lives Matter to him. And so he understands now what his players were. It's such bullshit. It's like if you genuinely just found out what that network thinks about Black Lives Matter, and I don't believe you, but if you did, you wouldn't need to type a statement and read it or have somebody else type a statement so that you can read it. You'd be like, I am so sorry. I only liked it because of this specific thing, or I like this show. You would point to specifics that you like that would disprove this thing people think about the network. But he's not doing that. He's just like, I'm sorry. Once I found out, I found that unacceptable. Like, okay.
Right.
And it's this thing that people are doing now where we're letting them, like, I heard Stephen A. Smith, he was, and despite your opinions, whatever your opinions are on Stephen A. Smith, he was talking about how, like, I like knowing what somebody is. I like knowing if you're going to be the guy who believes in that, if you're going to be a racist, it's almost comforting to me to know that that's what you are. What I don't like is when we incentivize people to hide that. So instead of like asking, and he didn't specifically say Gundy was racist. I don't want that to get skewed. But like if we're telling people that like you can save your ass by pretending you don't feel that way anymore, and all you got to do is read the statement and look down barrel and deliver this to the camera, and then everybody will get over it. That's the real issue, is because it's like we're not fixing the heart of the problem, which is like, why did he feel that way and support that? And why did somebody have to tell him that wasn't okay? We're just saying like, all you have to do is just be like, I'm sorry about the t-shirt, throw the t-shirt away, or only wear it to like family functions, but don't wear it when you're going to be on camera. Like, that's not fixing the problem. It's hiding it. And I thought that was really interesting of like, yeah, we don't really ever fix the problem. That's actually the problem. We're just like, give an apology. I think we're like, the tides are shifting. The internet's starting to be like, nah, fuck that. That's not the apology. Try again.
Right.
I think
I'm into that. Yeah.
I was very into this whole exchange at the beginning when I thought it was demonstrating more power for players. We're like, yes, now the players have this voice. They have a platform where they can share their views. They're not as afraid. They're getting this public support for expressing their opinion. And then the first apology video came out and you're like, oh no. They like, it was immediately clear that they were like, okay, we're going to come on camera and now you're going to say this so that, and it was just like, damn it. I thought we were kind of moving towards that. And I think I think, you know, the Gundy having to come back and doing another one is like great, fine, but it's still just, I don't know, was to me indicative of like putting players like back in their place. Like,
yeah, that's what that, you're right. Run. That first video felt very much like get back in your place.
Yeah.
Like that his energy, you hit the nail on the head. That's what about it made me uncomfortable was it just felt like the coach being like, hey, coach here. Speak and say the thing I said to say. Like, mm-hmm. And the tweet originally was like, I don't want to be associated with this program until this gets fixed, yep. Which was like powerful, a powerful thing for an athlete, a college athlete to say. And then that was just like neutered him immediately. It was like, oh, okay. So I don't have power. It's a bummer.
It was a bummer. That's the right way to say it.
But you know, I think we can all just agree that One American News Network is straight down the, it's right down the middle. Fair and balanced. One of the guys on it has a show and his slogan is, even when I'm wrong, I'm right. And it's like, yo, that is,
wow.
That is clearly not balanced. He's like, even when I'm wrong, I'm on the right, I'm a right conservative. You shouldn't brag. Okay. Wild. I recommend everybody watch the John Oliver thing on them because what a time we live in. Let's talk about NWSL.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Challenge Cup is starting on June 27th, which makes this the first league in America that's coming back. Correct?
Oh, nice.
It does.
Yeah. So June 27th, a one-month tournament, the Challenge Cup. It's going to be in Utah. Every team in the tournament we'll play, all the games are going to be, it's 2 games per day and there's 9 match days and the games are either at 10:30 a.m. local time or 8 p.m. local time, which is, you know, whatever, a little weird, but whatever. The games will be on CBS, CBS All Access or Twitch. So the first game and the final will be on CBS, which is that first game will be the first time that a professional women's club soccer game will be seen live on a national broadcast network in the U.S.
That's amazing.
So
that's
shout awesome. Out for that. That game will be, what is it, North Carolina Courage versus Portland Thorns at 10:30 a.m., so 12:30 Eastern time on CBS. That's exciting. We'll all be watching that. Some of us.
Hell yeah.
We'll be wearing our jerseys.
That is a really cool jersey.
Thank you very much. Yeah, shout out to the Verge for sending it. It has roses on it.
Thorns jersey's so sick.
It's so great.
I keep trying to buy a rain jersey, and their store has a password right now because I want to get a Rapinoe jersey. And I think they're like refreshing their store so that people can buy jerseys in time for the tournament to start. But I just like today I was just on there and I was like trying to buy a Rapinoe jersey. So I kept just like guessing passwords. Being like, Rapinoe, like, OL rain, like rain 2020. They didn't work. So anyway.
Did you try password 1234?
No, but I will try that.
Password 1234.
I'll try that and I will report back.
It's, you know, 8 teams are going to make it into the knockout round. The 9 teams got drawn randomly into 9 slots for each team's 4-game schedule for the prelim round. So each team plays 4 games and then the top 8.
One doesn't make it?
Yeah.
Just one gets.
Yeah.
That would suck.
Yeah.
That would suck hard.
But you can look up the schedule. They just released it. Finally, we're not just going to like read it on here, but that's exciting and that's coming and get pumped because that'll be fun. Pumped. That'll be very fun. Rapinoe's not playing, right?
I don't think so.
I thought I saw she wasn't going to play. All right. We'll have more info on that as it comes up. But sports, thank God.
Sports are almost back.
Speaking of sports, the NFL, does it feel to anybody else like the NFL is just like, ho-hum, it doesn't affect us?
Sure does.
Yeah. There hasn't been NFL has big Florida energy.
They just really think, like, this will all be cleared up by September, when it's like, even if it is, it might be second wave time. Like, it's not going to be cleared up by September. And it's also going to be, a lot of these leagues are being told, like, make sure you wrap your shit up as early in October as you can, because it's going to start to get cold. And, like, mm-hmm. The NFL should be worried about how cold it is for the majority of their season. I'm hearing nothing about it.
Maybe there's a chance they're having conversations behind the
best case, the most you can give them is, like, maybe they're talking about it and not telling us. But it really just feels like they're, like, nah, you guys had to worry about this. Our season's going to be unaffected.
We're good.
I'm getting emails about, like, fantasy football draft prep stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah. I don't have to read this. This isn't happening. This isn't going to happen.
Yeah. All the... It's like, Brandon Brooks, like, tears his ACL, might miss 2020 season. I'm like, what 2020 season?
Yeah.
It's actually going to be perfect because it's not going to start until next
like,
April.
Maybe it does happen, but I just can't. Maybe I'm an idiot, but everything I'm seeing, where everyone's like, how do you feel about this picture of Tom Brady in a Bucks jersey? I'm like, he'll look great wearing it at his house. He's not going to play. There's no, like, this is like when you procrastinate forever on, did you score again? Okay, cool. Jay's dancing. It's like when you procrastinate forever on like a research project and then you're like trying to bang it out in the last 2 days and you, one of your other friends gets assigned a research project and you're like, man, if I could switch places with you, I would. You don't realize you have so much time. You have so much time to work and figure it out. Like that, to me, is like Major League Baseball looking at the NFL. Like, you don't realize right now is when you should be figuring this out because yeah. you're going to get to a point where it's too late and you're going to start like losing money or like losing players and like you got to figure it out now. And the NFL's like, chill out. We've got plenty of time to do this research project. And come September, it's going to be like, nope. Yeah, we fucked up. We should have probably planned.
Yeah.
Sick. Also, just
speaking of sick,
yeah. I hope Zeke feels better soon.
And he was like, he seemed pretty. So Zeke was one of there were a couple players that just tested positive. I think it was two on the Cowboys and four Texans players. And his name specifically was released, and he was like, he tweeted HIPAA ? Like because you're not supposed to be able to release private medical information and. He had said that like a ton of media was calling his agent for confirmation. Like his agent wasn't the one who broke it. Mm. Like a bunch of the media knew about it and called. And he was like, how is that?
Well, the HIPAA only applies if your doctor tells somebody. It doesn't apply to like, if I tell you I have it and you tell a reporter.
So he doesn't know who said it though.
Yeah.
Like, because people are like, oh, your agent confirmed it. And he's like, well, the media was calling the agent before the agent said anything.
It's probably the team. It's probably, you know, Jerry Jones or something. I mean, not, it wouldn't literally be Jerry Jones, but somebody within the team. Because he probably notified the team, and then the team let people know. I don't know why. I don't know why it would benefit them. But I imagine it's just one of those things where if you hear that he's one, it's a big name, so it just gets out there. But well,
aren't they in preliminary training? Now? Or has that not started yet?
Oh, that's a good question, because I remember seeing Tampa
do it. I know the Eagles are. I don't know
yeah.
what other teams are doing.
Yeah, I don't know if the Cowboys had started yet or not, but obviously what we do know is that Texas is a another fun hotspot for the old coronavirus.
Sick.
And people are just eating in restaurants. Ooh, just
ooh. Eating in restaurants. Life.
Ooh, ooh. Just man, throwing. I keep seeing these headlines that are like, woman and 15 friends all come down with it.
After a night out. Did you see the photo? Like, wait, that, yeah, that
I saw
one was
that,
great.
I'm like, how do they decide who's the woman and who the 15 friends
are? It's gotta be if she's
also,
like
15 friends is a lot.
It's too many friends.
If Jay's saying that's
stop
a lot,
having
you
15
friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
unless
too
they
many
have
friends.
15 beach houses. There's no reason to have.
No. Well, and each one of them needs to have a beach house, is the point. That you can't just be making friends willy nilly.
NHL, the only thing worth mentioning, I think they're still moving forward with that plan, but the only thing worth mentioning is that during that Return of Sports special on Monday night, they just randomly put a hockey net behind Gary Bettman in his shot.
Oh my God.
It was like, what?
They were like,
what?
Yeah. My favorite were the tweets that were like, the people deciding this were like, Gary Bettman's like, it doesn't look like I know about hockey
yeah,
enough. And
somebody's
like, I know.
And they tried
put
different
a net behind
like,
you.
Maybe at first they like, had him on a sheet of ice, or they gave him a, just like goalie pads. Like, what were the iterations of making Gary Bettman look like he knows hockey?
Oh, man.
So that's the update on that. Premier League, Jay, why don't you give us an update on Man City?
Well, fan favorite David Luiz of Arsenal, formerly of Chelsea, was given a red card in the 50th minute for pulling down Riyad Mahrez in the box. So Kevin and Brian converts the penalty, 2-0, 54th minute.
Sick.
Loving it.
Hating
loving
it.
Loving it.
Hating it.
Loving it a lot. I mean, you know, it's Arsenal, so
So what are your thoughts on the fake crowd noise? Because they're pumping in this, like, or the broadcast has fake crowd noise on it.
I actually think what they did was really smart. The crowd noise, I'm fine with. The fake crowd noise, like, it's just sound, looks and sounds like a game, and so it's fine. What
it
I think is really smart.
Like someone's DJing it, because when something like reactionary happens, the crowd's like, "Oh, it's like."
I think that someone is DJing it. I do think that they have a DJ.
Job with CrossFit.
Yeah, shout out to that guy.
Shout out,
and then
or girl
or yeah, that person. And
nice Ash.
Sorry, excuse me. And the other thing I think was really smart is that they covered all the bottom rows of stands in like banner in like
what do they call
like,
them?
With signs.
Like fake, yeah, but they call them something.
Something specific.
Those,
I forget
like,
what
big
it's called.
Flags.
Those big flags. And so there's like a bunch of them and some of them are ads, but it generally like, cause we saw a bunch of Bundesliga games that were like,
empty
they
seats.
Didn't have those
yeah.
and they were just empty seats. And this makes it feel like it's almost normal because you like aren't looking for people in empty seats. You're just like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's
you,
a
it's,
blue
it,
sign.
Weirdly, you wouldn't think it would matter that much, but not seeing the seats without the people on them is helpful.
Yeah, that was a wise decision.
Yeah, I agree.
And I am just thrilled to be watching this match, even though I'm only half looking at it. But I did get to see a little bit of the nil-nil cracker between Sheffield United and Villa. And I think the thing that's going to be interesting about Premier League is like match fitness, because the other thing that they're doing is squeezing all of these games into a really tight window, because there's only 9 matches remaining in the league. And so they're going to play most of them. I think in like the next 3 to 4 weeks, it should be finished.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it will be technically finished, hopefully by next week. You know?
Sure. Sure. But there, you know, there's a relegation battle.
Yeah,
Jay,
and all I
know
those how
the league
works. Just let me get my joke off.
Yeah. It's a good joke.
Thanks.
Anyway, Liverpool play on
Sunday at 3:30, which I love.
Yeah.
Cause you know, it's not 7:30. So thanks for that.
Yeah, that's going to be great.
Yeah,
and that's the
Merseyside,
the Merseyside Derby.
That's right. It is. I'm
and
excited.
Mike Dean is the referee who is, I learned from friends at the Caught Offside podcast that he is a Tranmere Rovers, which is the English League 2 team in Liverpool supporter, which I believe also means that he's a big not Liverpool supporter.
Uh-huh.
I think is the insinuation.
Yeah, I saw that as
so
well.
So that's a thing.
Yeah. I don't, it doesn't, whatever. I just can't wait to see the boys. I'm just so excited.
Yeah. Is everybody coming back? Like everybody's playing?
That's a good question. I honestly haven't, I think so. I've been assuming so, but as soon as you asked it, I was like, fuck, what? I hope. I think so.
I need to make sure Bobby's there. That's all.
Yeah.
You know,
be,
if I'm going to tune in.
I've seen pictures. Yeah.
I think Bobby's there.
Should we head over to me for a challenge update?
Doodly-doo!
It was a full week ago now, but I took notes.
Oh, yeah, the challenge is on in, like, 3 hours.
Yeah, so let me just see what I have in my notes here. So we have Melissa talking about needing a red skull, which is, like, watching a person you work with that you think is, like, oh, she's nice, and I don't mind her that much, but then they start talking about, like, Animal Crossing, and by the second week, you're like, I don't care. Like, listening to Melissa be like, I really need a red skull, and you're like, you're, okay, You don't go here. Why are you talking to me? My opinions on Melissa stand strong. So the challenge from this week is you dangle from a truck and you grab flags. It was a trash challenge. And you could tell right away because of the way they edited it. They had to keep like drawing it out and making it look dramatic. And like 5 people cheated at it. And it was just like, it sucked. You're giving me a look, Ashley, like you disagree. But it was an
absolutely
garbage challenge.
It was
like
dumb.
Explosions of colorful powder that didn't affect anybody in any way. It was so, so stupid. I wrote lame, overhyped graphics. They knew this was bad. Going 5 miles per hour. So TJ calls out the cheaters afterwards. They all think they got away with it. We're like, it was 2 people at a time. And so some people would help each other and give each other flags. But Kyle, Rogan, Nani, Jenny, Fessy, and Nelson all got DQ'd because they cheated. Corey and Josh were the top 2 guys. Josh took first place. I can't stand Josh. Maddie and Melissa were the top 2 girls. Melissa wins.
Melissa.
Congrats to her. Oh, I should have mentioned, at the top of the show, there's a graphic, and they say that what's her fucking name?
D.
D. It has been found to, because of her insensitive statements online. The network has fired her and is severing ties, and that they're going to edit. They've edited her out of most of as much of the season as they could moving forward. But like left, I mean, she's still in because she's still there. What that is that she, from what I could tell, because a lot of stuff gets deleted, it seemed like she made some sort of joke about how she must think Black Lives Matter because she lost her virginity to a black guy. And then
that was the first one.
Yeah. And I didn't see anything after that.
After that, she did like a people die every effing day kind of thing. Just like.
So cool. Such a stance. Yeah. Way to take that stance, D. That people die every day, so why care? You know? Right. So that lady, which, you know, I always kind of felt in the back of my head, but like, honestly, fuck you, lady. And so I found out from looking at some other Twitter thread about something else that the reason, like, a lot of this episode didn't make sense to me. Like, it felt like they left stuff in that they didn't need to. Yeah. And then I felt like I was missing stuff. And I realized afterwards it's because they cut out I think the whole episode was about D. And then they cut it all out. And so then the end happens and you're like, what? Why? Yeah. Like,
that's why I think they had so much Melissa.
Yeah. Cause I'm like, why are they had to like, fill. Leaving her in? Why are we giving a shit what she talks about? And then now I'm like, oh, it's cause they cut D out, but the episode had to
I feel bad for that editor. He probably he or she probably loved their episode, and then they're like, yeah, we're gonna change the whole thing.
So I said that to Steve too, because her comments I think were either on Tuesday.
Oh, it was
they were
right
on Tuesday.
Away.
So it was like a one day turn that they had to do that whole thing. And I was oh my god, that would have been so intense.
Yeah, nobody in this group has ever done.
I was
they also before. You also notice like TJ keeps reiterating rules we already know, and in a way that makes it sound like we're getting a new rule, but it's just because they're like we're 7 seconds light. We need 7 more seconds. So he's like, and as you know, you're gonna need a red skull if you want to run in my final. And I'm sitting over here going, we know, TJ. We're almost at the end. Tell me what it means if somebody has 2 red skulls. Tell me what it means if tell me how many more weeks we have until we're done getting red skulls. Like, give me new information. I wrote this episode sucks in capital letters in my notes. It was so bad.
Did they have any of those like cheesy graphics packages with voiceovers on them to like cover time?
They don't usually do that. Okay. They will. I will say from watching old seasons of the challenge and now you can tell when TJ does a pickup when he does like an ADR in the booth and like you can tell it's like he didn't say that live. He made that clarification later in a sound booth. In old seasons, he's either on a green screen. There's a couple seasons where I'm like, he's f-ing on a green screen, where they make it look like he's where he was before, but he's lit completely different than the shots of the players. And Dan and I have been fascinated by like pointing out like green screen. It's like him delivering the rules, but not at all where he was. It's very funny, but they never really go with like a VO for the most part. They just green screen him into the location. So anyway, Melissa wins. The tribunal is Josh, Melissa, and Johnny. Johnny gets in there just by being like, I'll go. And then they pick Johnny, which I'm like, you guys are idiots. You don't know how to play this friggin' game. Maddie says she wants to go in. She keeps telling everybody all week that she wants to go in. Then it comes down to the vote where they get to decide who's going to go in from the house vote. And Maddie is like, well, I backed myself into a corner. And I'm like, I don't think you know what that statement means. Because backed yourself into a corner means you now have to do something you didn't want to do. All week you've been saying you want to go in. Unless you were lying, you didn't back yourself into a corner. She's like, now I have to nominate myself. And like, yeah, but you want to go in, I thought. You've been saying it all week. So anyway, she nominates herself and she goes in. And then Melissa, before they vote for her, Melissa tells Kyle, like, if you say Maddie's name, you're basically sending me home. And Kyle's like, okay. And then when Maddie gets it voted in, she's like, I'm absolutely gutted. I don't fancy my chances against her. And
you're like, so good at her voice.
Because she grinds every gear of mine. She never goes down at the end of a sentence. The inflection is never, it's never over. It's always up. And we're wondering if she's going to keep talking. So four girls still need skulls, Maddie, Melissa, Nani, and Bailey. Maddie nominates herself. Bailey is like listening to Maddie talk to Kyle while she's eating chips, which felt like it meant something. Like she was like getting information. It didn't end up meaning anything. Melissa and her huge boobs.
Sweet, sweet time, Phil.
Melissa and her huge boobs decide they're going to throw Bailey in. And then she has some random comment about how she's like, I want to throw Bailey in and we'll see how Swaggy reacts. It's like, God, you're playing a completely different game. You're not playing the correct game. What does it matter how Swaggy reacts? Then Nani is at the bar panicking. I don't know why. At the tribunal meeting, it should be who's the weakest lady with a red skull and put her in, and then Melissa throw yourself in. That doesn't make any sense to me, but whatever. Melissa says that she starts, they want to throw in D, which this is where when you're watching the episode, you're like, why? Josh basically is like, we're cool, but not that cool. I'll throw in D, which, because Josh sucks. Mm-hmm. But Melissa is like, we can't throw in D. She's my friend. She's a friend of mine. It'd really screw up my game if you throw in D, and I won't take credit for it. And that's not how you play the game. You're not there to make friends. You're there to win. And if you put in D, who already has a red skull, and she eliminates Maddie, then that's good for you because that means no one else got a new red skull, which means you might have another there's more red skulls available. I think. They still haven't really explained how that works if somebody has two skulls.
I think everybody considered Maddie to be really strong, and so they were, like, the people who were putting D in were putting D in because they wanted her to get out.
Yeah. Totally. But in my head, even if D wins, D already has a red skull. So, like, again, I don't know how the economy of skulls works, but if she gets two, would be better than Maddie, who doesn't have one, getting one. Because that would mean there's, like, one less availability to, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I think if D kept win, let's say one person won every elimination and had all the red skulls, I don't think she'd be the only woman who runs the challenge. I think they would do something so that other women could also. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Either way, it's a dumb idea to defend D, but she does it anyway. This season I'm getting annoyed at how it works now that I'm watching old seasons. The way that, like, house vote automatically gets in and then you have, like, a pick of four or so other people that can go against them, but it has nothing to do with the challenge except for the tribunal. Like old seasons, the challenge would be like whoever comes in last is in, and then you guys have to vote or there's like some specific way to get this next person in.
Yeah.
But it's like coming last in the challenge means you got to go in. And now it's like coming first in the challenge means you get to pick who might go in. I don't like it as much. It just took me a really long time to notice it.
I think the coming, it's rewarding success more than it's penalizing failure.
Yeah.
And I think it should be both.
Yeah.
Like, if you lose, you're in. And if you win, you
get
some
privilege to say, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I said Melissa shows up to the elimination in a tight leather coat and a turtleneck, so clearly she's not going in.
Right.
she says, I don't want to go against tough competition, and then sends Bailey in. To get eliminated, which I was like, why would you send in, you should send in somebody difficult. All right. Johnny says, Rogan, can I have your blessing to throw in D? Which obviously Melissa asked them not to do. And it felt like Johnny's almost being too Johnny this season.
Yeah.
Like that was almost too producer-y. Like he said in an interview and also just acts in a way that like he's producing the show. He knows what they're looking for and he's trying to give them these moments. But being like, Rogan, do I have your permission to throw her in? Just felt very like, what? But again, that might have been explained by something that we missed. Rogan says, yeah. While Melissa's begging Josh not to do it, then Josh does it and Melissa's mad. Melissa tells Josh not to speak to her again in the house. I said she's an idiot, but I also agree because I fucking hate Josh, and any way to get him to not talk to me would be what I would do. There's actually a moment where Josh, they show the tribunal. Josh says wow, but Melissa opens her mouth, and so it really looks like she was like, wow, like really low. You should go back and watch it. It's very funny. I rewound it about 15 times. Maddie and Dee, the elimination is they get locked into a tunnel and have to dig themselves out. They made this really dramatic moment, which makes sense now because they were filling for time, where they tried to make it look like Dee was dying inside of the tunnel. They went to commercial, they came back, and she was like, I'm fine. And then they kept going. Dee wins. Yeah, the editing on this episode is infuriating. It all makes sense now. Dee ran away with elimination. They were trying to make it seem close. TJ repeats the rules again. You need a red skull to win in my final. We get it. Tell me what happens to people who have two red skulls. Tell me how many weeks we have left. Give me new info. Dee wins, which means that, you know, I don't know how they're going to edit out Dee from the next episode, given that what happened at the end of this episode was that Dee came back and is coming back into the house and is going to exact revenge, you've got to assume, on, like, Rogan or whoever. I don't know. Obviously, I'm all for getting rid of that racist lady, right? But, like, you got to reach a point. Like, somebody's got to fill something in with, like, oh, this is the part where Dee did this, but we don't want to show it to you anymore. You know what I mean? There's something to the, like, I get it. Don't pay her any more money. And, like, never invite her back on another season. But, like, what happened there?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, they said they wanted to finish airing this season for
everybody else,
the other contestants and the fans who still want to watch a season. They're like, we're not going to pull it. And it's great. And part of me is like, I know you don't want to give a platform to a woman who is stupid and said stupid things.
Well, yes, but you're also kind of MTV has been giving a platform to stupid people for a very, very long time.
That's true.
It's kind of the, like, main line of their programming is laughing at dumb people on reality shows on MTV.
I am hoping that, like, this episode in particular was just really D-heavy, and that's why the edit was, like, made it kind of painful. Because, like, if they're all so poorly edited going forward,
it's going to be hard to watch.
But although, like, I don't know, maybe they have more time in advance. Maybe it's less D. Like, I'm going to go in with an open mind.
I genuinely wouldn't mind if there was just, like, a slate at the beginning that's like, D came back to the house, started some shit with Rogan, and ends up getting kicked out. Like, we're going to give you other storylines instead. But it's like, clearly this one started.
Yeah.
And now it's just not going to pay off, which is going to make me anxious.
Yeah.
But, you know, while we're on the topic, it is funny to watch everybody be like, oh, this person on Vanderpump Rules is a racist. And you're like, guys, what did you think you were watching? Did you think that these rich, spoiled people, white people who are, like, dating each other and, like, out of touch with reality, had any idea what anyone else's life is? How are you shocked that the guy from Siesta Key says the N-word on the internet? Like, there's not saying you should do it, not saying he should get paid, but there has to be some sense of, like, you knew, you ignored it, but you knew. These people are garbage. They're garbage. That's why we watch it. All right. Now let's head on over to Jay for le news française de la semaine.
Bonjour.
Bonjour.
Hi, I am Jay Wolf. This is the French news of the week. You know, for this week's story, there is a lot of somewhat depressing news in France, and they are not doing a very good job at supporting Black Lives Matter or coronavirus. So instead, I choose some news that is uplifting and French-related. It is about a French bulldog, specifically Bougie Smith-Schuster. He is the French bulldog of Juju Smith-Schuster. And he posted a video the other day that I was very interested in and I wanted to tell you guys about. So, it was a post of two French bulldog puppy named Bambino and Cashew. And then there was a sad eyes emoji and a white heart emoji. And they were playing with each other on a bed.
Okay, Jay, where is this going?
There was no explication as to if these new French bulldogs are to Juju Smith-Schuster and Bougie or to someone else. And since the only thing we have seen is a post of Bougie with his girlfriend dog Portia. So what we know is Bougie is related to these puppies somehow, but we don't know how and we want to know more. So that is the French news of the week. And we hope that the puppies, there will be more puppy content soon. Au revoir.
Au revoir. Merci beaucoup.
Au revoir. De rien.
That wasn't French.
Or news.
No. It was, did Juju Smith-Schuster get two more dogs? Who's to say? All right, I think we have time for one more voicemail. But before we do that, this podcast is also brought to you by Simply Safe. So, Ashley, what?
I've had I'll Be There For You stuck in my head for about 2 weeks now.
That's rude.
That is
the Friends theme song, if you guys weren't sure.
No, we were sure.
I've been singing all our heads.
I've been singing it in like, I've made a depressive remix.
Oh.
So it's just like really sad.
Can you just give us drop a bar for us?
Like if you take the beginning lyrics, it's like, so no one told you life was going to be this way. Like you can really make that a sad song if you want. Yeah. So Katie, I would like.
Well, that's like I take Usher's Confessions and I do, this is my depression. That's what happens in my head all the time. Anytime I'm doing something that's clearly an exhibit of my depression. But anyway, what were you saying?
Can you do the happy, uplifting version, please, to get the depressing one?
You know, I got in a fight with one of my friends in middle school, elementary school, something, because we were over what the main melody of the chorus is. If you had to hum that, both of you, what would it be? Ready? 5, 6, 7, 8. And Jay, what did you do? Because it wasn't anything.
Well, I got in my head because I realized that we would do it at different times and then it would be annoying because of Zoom. So
is it similar to Ashley's?
I'll do it. Yeah.
Or the high one.
I'll be there for you, right? Yeah, because she thought, I'll be there for you. And I was like, that's the harmony.
That's obviously the harmony.
Yeah, that's
we
the
were
harmony.
Too young
Jill.
To know.
Was
that
Jill?
No, it wasn't Jill. It was Ashley. Different Ashley.
Ah, there's 20 Ashleys in your life.
I had a lot of Ashleys. Yeah. A lot of Ashleys. Okay, well, now that we've decided that, I'll probably still mess it up. Oh, lots of ads. Lots of ads.
Everyone wants fun. That instrumental of the Rembrandts.
I don't even want it. Does it start right
away?
Do
you know right what the verse goes? How the verse
goes? Yeah, it starts right after this.
There's one more.
Yeah. So what's the number one sign of a bad home security system? A home security system that's so complicated you never use it. This is exactly the type of security system Simply Safe has spent a decade fighting against. They believe it's simple, safer, and it's exactly why Simply Safe is the home security for right now when feeling safe at home has never been more important. Simply Safe was designed to be easy to use while protecting your whole home 24/7. Order online with the click of a button. Open the box, place the sensors. Plug it in and your home is protected around the clock. No technicians or salesperson has to come and disrupt your house. You don't need to pay any outrageous monthly fees or sign a 2-year contract. And Simply Safe was named best overall home security of 2020 by U.S. News and World Report. And their 24/7 professional monitoring and emergency dispatch starts at just 50 cents a day. Yeah. I forgot how much of the song I remembered.
I can't believe you got the bridge.
Killing it.
Myrtle is staring. She's sitting up in her crate and staring at me. Like, what is this?
She's like, just 50 cents a day?
Where do we start back up again? Chorus?
Sure.
Yeah.
Simply head to simplysafe.com/Nolan and get free shipping and a 60-day money-back guarantee. That's simplysafe.com/Nolan to make sure they know that our show sent you and not the show, friends. That's simplysafe.com/Nolan today.
Man, that was so good.
Gonna be thrilled.
Crushed it.
Why does anyone know the bridge of that song?
You did such a good job.
I'd love to make space in my brain by getting rid of that. Jay, let's do another voicemail so you can watch this game.
Okay.
play.
It's gonna happen.
Jay, let's do another voicemail.
Thanks, Katie.
Hi,
thanks.
This is Brittany from Minnesota, and I'm so sorry I don't have a question, but I just wanted to call, and I didn't know how else to contact you, but I just wanted to call and say that I really enjoy the podcast, and you guys feel like you're my friends, even though I've never met you, but you feel like you're my friends, and I like listening to you guys. And Katie, I've been following your work since Garbage Time years ago, and you've just really helped me be able to stay a sports fan and still be a feminist, which is hard to do, but I love your voice and what you bring to the sports world, and I think it's desperately needed. And for someone like me who's a sports fan but also like a feminist and, you know, concerned about the treatment of athletes and the treatment of women and violence victims, it's just your voice has just been a light to me, and you've helped me develop my own views and articulate them better. And I think your voice is really, really needed, and what you're doing is important. And the three of you on your sports podcast have been just amazing. I've been listening every week since they first came out 2.5 years ago. And like I said, I feel like you're my friends, and I really do love you. I really do mean it. And just keep being you, because the world needs you. Love you. Mean it. Bye.
Brittany, first of all, that was not the voicemail that we were supposed to make there, and I did not know about that voicemail. That's very sweet and, very, very needed. I appreciate that a lot. And thank you for listening, and don't make me do this right now.
Do you think she left that voicemail before we ruined everybody's week by ending our, Oregon Trail game abruptly?
Maybe. Yeah. She calls back and she's like, actually, I take back everything I said, because I was listening to you guys play Oregon Trail for way longer than I should have, and it wasn't even worth it. There was no payoff at the end. Brittany, shout out to you. And shout out to everybody. I got a lot of messages like that this week, and I appreciate all of them. I don't know how to respond to them because I'm uncomfortable, but I appreciate them, and I love you guys. Myrtle, give me 2 seconds. Can I say goodbye? Okay. I'm going to say goodbye, and then I'm going to come get you, girl. That's my dog. That's it for this week's edition of Sports. Obviously, shout out to AT&T. Jay, what does that stand for?
It stands for always tanks and tracksuits.
It's harder than it looks, folks. always tanks and tracksuits, State Farm, and Simply Safe. Also, shout out to the ESPN Daily with Mina Kimes. You guys can get that wherever you download podcasts. Also, big thanks to you for listening now and then just later, maybe again. You know, or just leave us a nice review. That actually helps. Wherever you're listening to this podcast, we read them. We love them. Like this one, which seems very long, from Aaron from New York, that says, Sports is an uplifting, fun, and sportsy podcast that covers real life issues and the hard-hitting sports stories, aka Austin Rivers definitely called the cops. He did. The three hosts, Katie, Ashley, and Jay, but you can figure that out when you start listening, really make you feel like a part of their family and make you emotionally invested in their lives and stories. Also, when you start listening, and that's right, I said when you start listening, because how could you read this review and not start listening immediately? You know what? If you read this and didn't immediately subscribe, then you can meet me in the alley behind the IHOP and we could hash this out over some browns. I'm down for some hash browns right now, maybe with cheese. Either way, when you start listening to the podcast, I'm serious, outside the IHOP at 6. Make sure to leave voicemails, because there's no greater feeling than the elation of when your voicemail is picked. I got picked 24 hours ago and I haven't stopped smiling. You won't regret it, or you will if you don't start listening. IHOP has already been alerted for the ensuing altercation for not heeding my warning and is closing off the parking lot for July 17th. A great review. They don't have to be that long, but if they are, they're going to get read on the podcast. And lastly, don't forget that you can always
leave a full voicemail.
Sick. At 860-506-5571. Say goodbye, Ashley.
Bye.
Say goodbye, Jay.
Bye.
Bye. Love you. Mean it. Go Liverpool! What's up? What's
Did you
up,
just
Jay?
Flush a toilet?
What's up?
I was
up?
Trying to do the cage door.
God, awful.
Simply Safe Home Security is like getting commercial-grade enterprise-level security, but for your own home. Think about the security Fortune 500 companies use. They need to know police are going to be on the scene immediately. This is exactly the kind of security you get with SimpliSafe. If there's a break-in, SimpliSafe uses real video evidence to give police an eyewitness account of the crime. And that means police dispatch up to 350% faster than for a normal burglar alarm. With SimpliSafe, you get comprehensive protection for your home. Outdoor cameras and doorbells alert you to anyone approaching your home. Entry, motion, and glass break sensors guard inside. Plus, SimpliSafe protects your home from fires, water damage, and carbon monoxide poisoning. It's all monitored 24/7 by live security professionals. You can set up your system yourself with no tools needed, or SimpliSafe's experts can do it for you. And it's only 50 cents a day with no contracts. Go to simplisafe.com/Nolan today to get free shipping on your order, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee. That's simplisafe.com/Nolan to save on home security today. Simplisafe.com/Nolan.